Welcome to Living on the Rock Radio with Pastor Israel Labson. Here you will hear teaching that will challenge you to a deeper walk with Jesus. Whatever place you are in your understanding of God's plan for your life, you will grow closer by listening. No shame, no guilt, and no condemnation. But you will be challenged to a closer walk with God. Now here's Pastor Israel with today's teaching.
Amen. We continue in our series on the glory of God, specifically on His redemptive love. Last Sunday, we talked about the way of God's judgment. And today, we're going to talk about the way of God's forgiveness. And where else should we go when we talk about forgiveness than in Luke chapter 19, the very famous story of a man named Zacchaeus. I love this guy in the New Testament. And I know there's a lot of stories in the New Testament, but every time I see a conversion story in the Bible, and I know the conversion of the Apostle Paul was great, and I know the conversion of a lot of disciples were great, but this man's conversion specifically touches me because he, in my view, personified what it means to be forgiven by God. Okay? I mean, I'm not elevating him and his story. I'm simply saying this speaks to me far more profoundly than some of the other stories of conversions in the Bible. That's just for me. I know you have your own favorite stories, but you don't get to preach. I do. So, you know, forgive me for that, all of that. Luke 19 verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I had cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." My friend Johnny, he's an African-American pastor friend of mine, whom I went to school with. Okay, this was a long time ago. In fact, I had him preach here many, many, many years ago, and we were students together at what was known then as the San Jose Bible College. It's now called William Jessup University. I mean, they moved up in the world. But I attended there when it was still a small college, you know. And in one of our conversations, I had to ask him a question. I asked him, "John, what in the world were you thinking? Why do you want to enter ministry? Why do you want to be a pastor?" And he said to me, I came from a long line of preachers. My great-great-great-grandfather was a preacher. So is my grandfather and my dad. So I'm just towing the company line here. I want to be a preacher as well." And he told me some of the background information that he had. He said his ancestors were slaves in the South. And their owners, that was the term he used to take their slaves to church every Sunday. In the midst of all of the suffering and brutality and the racism that they've experienced at the time, in one of the most grim and shameful part of our history as a nation, he said, their owners, his ancestors' owners, were devout Christians. And they took their slaves to church regularly on Sundays. And he said, that's why his ancestors down the line became preachers. And he too will be a pastor. So, of course, I have to ask the obvious question. Okay? How in the world could your ancestors possibly accept Christianity when all around them, all they see of these so quote unquote Christians have shown them in their day-to-day existence nothing but brutality? And what they did, these so-called Christians, was beyond shameful. It's downright brutal. So I had to ask the question, the pink elephant in the room question. I said, how can your ancestors possibly accept Christianity when they had nothing to show them about Christianity that has any kind of credibility? In fact, nothing but brutality. How can you possibly embrace the same fate? How can they possibly embrace the same fate as their owners? They could have had an extremely legitimate reason not to believe in Jesus, not to believe in Christianity. And he said something to me that I'll never forget. It was a simple statement. It was a very simple statement. And all these years, I thought about that because a lot of people, that's their stumbling block. They couldn't accept the fact that people can be Christians and do these tremendously evil things. And what Johnny, my friend, told me flat out was simple. He said, my ancestors saw through the brutality. They saw through the shameful ignorance of those people. They saw through the racism and they saw Jesus. They simply saw Jesus through all of that, and they forgave. As Jesus offered forgiveness to those who crucified him when they said, my God, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is a big deal in the Bible. Why is it such a big deal? And I said it before and I said it again, because forgiveness was the toughest thing God has ever done. We throw out forgiveness as if it's some kind of thing that God just easily bestows on people. Oh, yeah, okay, you sin, I forgive you, you sin, I forgive you, you sin, I forgive you, all of that kind of thing. We forget that forgiveness cost heaven the life of Jesus. The best of heaven, the Son of God, went to the cross because of this issue of forgiveness. So we're going to talk about the subject of forgiveness because it's at the heart of our relationship with God. It's at the heart of our relationship with other people. And it's at the heart of our relationship with ourselves. Okay? It's central to our relationship with God. It's critical to our relationship with each other, and it's crucial to our relationship with ourselves. This subject has more impact in our innermost being than about anything else. And it has such a profound effect in the quality of life that we live. Nothing more profoundly affects our lives, our innermost being, than the subject of repentance and forgiveness. And again, this is part of our series on God's redemptive love. It might be basic to some of you. It might be Christianity 101 to some of you. But it bears repeating the significance, the centrality of this issue of forgiveness. Because Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, in Luke chapter 6, was intended for you and I to understand and apply and live out in our lives. Let me read that again. Verse 37 of Luke 6. This is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, do not judge or you will not, so you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Now we already talked about the way of God's judgment, but then he went on and he said, forgive and you will be forgiven. Just one simple statement. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And of course, next Sunday, we're going to start our emphasis on generosity when Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. He didn't stop there. He says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Now that applies to repentance and forgiveness. Those two things, repentance and forgiveness, are inseparable. There could be no real forgiveness without true repentance. And I think everybody in this room knows that. The journey from repentance to forgiveness can be a long and sometimes painful process. It's a painful process. It was painful to God, may I repeat. But God offered it, and it's also very painful and a very struggling process for you and I. Nothing confronts the core of our most important relationships than this issue of repentance and forgiveness. It's the only way we can achieve total peace with God, total peace with others, and total peace with ourselves. Repentance and forgiveness. There are two fundamental truths that the Bible declares about repentance and forgiveness. Number one, they are both a calling from God, and they are a commandment from God. God calls us to repent, and He commands us to forgive. There's not much option really in between. God calls us to repent, and He commands us to forgive. Secondly, they are both granted by God. They are both granted by God. God grants both repentance and forgiveness. Yes, even your desire and my desire to repent is granted by God. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. No repentance can ever happen unless the Holy Spirit superintends that repentance, and that comes from God. So God grants repentance, and He also grants forgiveness. It happens when the Holy Spirit is working in our heart. And then when we respond in humility, that will be granted to us. So humility also is central to repentance and forgiveness. Okay? And that's what we find in the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. From this story, we will discover four insights, very important insights as Christians. Because I can guarantee you there are people who call themselves Christians but have not dealt with this issue of forgiveness and repentance. Okay? Now, maybe not you, but some of the people you know. Okay? But we struggle with this, and sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we ignore the fact that this is a reality. And sometimes we can't move forward with our lives because there's something, you know, hindering. Something is blocking the flow of eternal life, and we couldn't move forward because of this whole issue of repentance and forgiveness. So we find four insights into the journey from repentance to forgiveness in this story. Number one, the journey from repentance to forgiveness commences with a call. Again, I repeat that. It starts with a call. It commences with a call. Repentance and forgiveness begins when we hear the call of God in our life. Now, look at verse 1. We see that the Holy Spirit has been at work in the life of Zacchaeus already. And how do we know that? Okay? He had heard of Jesus. Before we read the verses in the Bible, we already know that he has heard of Jesus before. He has heard people talk about Jesus. He probably heard Jesus preached. Okay? Or he heard about the teachings of Jesus. At some point, he has already heard about Jesus. And he wanted to hear more of him, so he wanted to see him. And we see from the story, because he was a short man, he couldn't see him on the crowd. But he already had a motivation. He already knew who Jesus was. He already heard his teaching. Now he wanted to see him. And he climbed a sycamore fig tree. Now, that's important. You have to underline that. How in the world could that be more important? This is a tree. No, it's a sycamore fig tree. And it'll have a big impact on all of these things later on as we progress through the message. He climbed a sycamore fig tree because he wanted to see Jesus. There was already a hunger in his heart for God that the Spirit of God has already been boiling up in him. He's already being called. He's already being touched somehow by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, in verse 5 it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Imagine Jesus saying that to you. Imagine Jesus saying, hey, Israel, come down. I must be at your church today. Oh, he's been here. I tell you that. He's been here. Okay? I must stay at your house today. So he came down and at once welcomed him gladly. That right there is the call to repentance and forgiveness. It begins with hearing the call. Scripture says faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. So I trust that all of you here this morning have heard the call. Because if you haven't heard the call of Christ, repentance and forgiveness cannot come in. So we see Zacchaeus, he's already heard this message from Jesus. He's already heard Jesus. The ball is on his court. Will he respond by faith and humble himself and receive his word? I sure am glad the story says that he did. He received the message gladly. Jesus would often say when he was teaching here in this earth, those who have ears, let him hear. You know, when you read the Gospels, you will hear Jesus say that over and over again. He would say something and he would say this. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Why is that? Because repentance and forgiveness begins with what we hear to be the truth of God's word. Now, here's a principle. God woke me up to say this to you this morning. God opens our eyes through our ears. God opens our eyes through our ears. You know, I always say this about my mother. You know, rest in peace. You know, she was a good, godly woman. But she never minces words, okay? She would ask me, give me the broom, find it, or you will feel it. Okay, that's my mom, okay? Give me the broom. And you know what I would do? I would scour the entire place. Open closets, look under the bed, look at everywhere. Open cabinets. I'll do everything to find that thing. But until she told me, it's right in front of you, just pick it up. You see, I was looking all over the place, but until I heard her say where it's at, then I'd say, oh, it's right in front of me. She always say, if that was a snake, it would have bitten you dead. And that's true. But not until I heard her point to me where the broom was, my eyes were wide open, but I couldn't see. I had to hear her say where it's at. That's exactly what Jesus and his word says. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. You and I cannot see who Christ is unless we hear the word of Christ and respond to it in humility. There are people in a real mess in their lives, real bad situations right in front of them. It's the answer, but they're running all over the place looking for answer, and they don't see it. Why? Because God opens our eyes through our ears. We need to hear the message. We need to hear the word of Christ. And how do we know that that's true? Jesus preached for 3.5 years the wisdom of heaven, words of God, and he backed it up with tremendous miracles, right? I mean, you've read the Gospels. Multiplied the bread, raised the dead, healed the sick, walked on water. He backed up his words with some things that people can see. Did they believe? No. They hadn't heard. They hadn't heard accurately. What they want is what they see. One of the disciples, Thomas, I will not believe until I see. Jesus says, blessed is the one who believed but did not see. God opens our eyes through our ears. That's an important consideration this morning. And people are in a mess in their lives. And you try to give them Jesus. Thank you, by the way, for that song. Because it speaks of Jesus. I like songs that talks about Jesus and who Jesus is and what he has done. Because that is an entryway to understanding the gospel. When we hear, we get enlightened. You know, there's a great story in Acts chapter 26, the great speech of the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa. He was trying to witness to King Agrippa, And he explained to King Agrippa that Jesus is the one that calls all men to be saved. And look at this portion of that exchange in Acts 26, verse 18. Paul says, the scripture says, God sent Jesus to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. It's a beautiful verse. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. Who's the blind? You and I. So that they can turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness. Forgiveness comes from hearing the word. Repentance comes when we hear the word. Don't ignore that situation you're in. It could be in your relationships right now with your spouse, with your friends, with your family. It could be your relationship with your kids. It could be that bondage in your life that had kept you from moving forward. Don't ignore those things. But listen to what God's word has to say, because it'll point us to the direction of life, real life, not just existence, not just surviving. It gives us eternal life right here and right now. Don't make the mistake of thinking that, oh, when I die, I'm going to have eternal life. No, the moment we come to faith in Jesus by hearing the gospel, hearing the word, eternal life begins. That's when eternal life starts. You who follow Jesus have eternal life now. It begins the moment you trusted in Christ. So sometimes there's a lot of hindrances to the flow of eternal life. You know, life happens, tragedies, problems, temptations, trials, all kinds of things happen, and it stifles the flow of eternal life. But listen to the word of Christ, because when we repented and have been forgiven, the guarantee is that we will walk in the newness of that life. So if you're not walking in the newness of that life, maybe there's some sins that need to be repented of and forgiveness to be received. After all, repentance is a change of direction, and forgiveness opens the gates by which we should travel this life. So repentance and forgiveness commences with a call. Secondly, repentance and forgiveness is compelled by conviction. This is a big word in Christianity, conviction. In verses 7 and 8, once we hear the call to repent and receive forgiveness, conviction, or our conscience begins to realize what it's supposed to do. Okay? So, the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes and it brings about repentance. And once we repented and have been forgiven, the direction of our conscience, the direction of our convictions settles in. If you're a Christian without Christian convictions, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. I'm in deep trouble. If I'm a Christian and my conscience and my convictions do not line up with what I heard from scriptures, I'm in big trouble. Look at verses 7 and 8. All the people saw this, saw Zacchaeus looking for Jesus, and Jesus called Zacchaeus. They saw all of that, and look at what they did. They began to mutter. They complain. A lot of those people have not heard the call, have not repented, have not received forgiveness, because they had a problem with Zacchaeus. And they, rightfully so, they hated the guy. The guy was a tax collector. You know what tax collectors are called in those days? Yeah, sinners. I still call them sinners today, okay? April 15, those sinners are looking at my taxes. They hated him because he takes advantage of his own people while the Romans, they're making him rich. So those people are angry and they have every reason to be upset with him. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, okay? Zacchaeus was being harassed by the crowd because they hated him. And he knew exactly why they hated him. And so he didn't look at the crowd. He didn't say to the crowd, wait a minute, I'm repenting here. Wait a minute, I'm receiving forgiveness. No, he looked to the Lord. He looked straight at Jesus. He saw through all of the problems around him, right? And he saw Jesus only, and he looked at Jesus, and he said, Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. That's conviction.
You've been listening to Living on the Rock Radio with Pastor Israel Labson, a ministry of Living Rock Christian Church in Sunnyvale, California. If you have been helped by this radio program and would like to keep it on the air, your continued prayerful and financial support is greatly appreciated. Please visit livingontherockradio.com, where all your tax-deductible gifts will go directly to the radio ministry. That's livingontherockradio.com. Living Rock is a church that doesn't care how you are dressed or what candidate you voted for. A church made up of imperfect people from all walks of life with a hunger and thirst to understand God's plan for our lives. No matter what you've been through or what questions you may have about God and faith, you will find love, grace, and hope at Living Rock Christian Church, 675 East Taylor Avenue in Sunnyvale, with Sunday worship starting at 10:30 a.m. More information at livingontherockradio.com.